live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, two separate investigations are underway into a double drowning off the coast of Malin Head. A consultant breast surgeon at Letterkenny University Hospital has moved to reassure people that statistics published this week claiming half of urgent breast cancer referrals were not being seen was inaccurate. The Northern Secretary has accused dissidents of pressuring children into taking part in violence on the streets of Derry. Meanwhile, detectives in Derry are working to establish a motive after a property was subject of a pipe bomb. Those stories to follow on Phil Plus More, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, two separate investigations are underway into a double drowning off the Donegal coast. A 16-year-old boy and a man in his 60s died, while a man in his 40s survived. Paul Quinn has more.
Gerry Doherty set off for a fishing trip along with 16-year-old Thomas Weir and another man shortly after 9 yesterday morning. However, at around midday, they got into difficulty. Joe Joyce is with Lough Swilly Oranelagh.
The boat became swamped with water, capsized, and the three people in the boat entered the water. They were in the water for a considerable amount of time, possibly 3.5-4 hours.
The alarm was raised by members of the public who heard cries for help, and despite a major search and rescue operation, only one of them survived. The local community is today in shock. Gerry Doherty was originally from the area and was also known as Gerry Mallon Doherty. His father also tragically drowned at the same spot almost 40 years ago. Local councillor Martin McDermott.
We've had quite a few tragedies here in Inishonan, and especially at sea tragedies over a number of years, but you know, two people drowning in Malin Head is the whole community, the whole area is numb.
16-year-old Thomas Weir was from Scotland but had been living in Derry in recent months, while a third man in his 40s was also from Derry. All three had family connections. Attention now turns to what caused this tragedy to unfold, with both the Gardaí and the Marine Casualty Investigation Board launching separate inquiries.
Gerry Doherty, who was pronounced dead at the scene and is understood to be from the Burt area, Catherine Gaffney, was there today and spoke to local resident Pat, who says it's an awful tragedy to have to come to terms with.
I can't believe it, like it's very sad, and especially the young lad at 16 years of age. But I suppose you know the water claims so many lives every year, and it's just unfortunate and poor people. It's a poor man that he held on for 3.5 hours. It must have had some willpower to live to hold on that long.
Not only for the family, but indeed the wider Inishowen community, an awful tragedy to come to terms with.
Yeah, oh, it's very sad writing up the poor people, the families especially, and especially the community. And it's widespread as well, as different parts of Donegal and wherever else, but it's, well, that's life, you know, too. As you know, the water claims so many lives are used. So hard, like.
A consultant breast surgeon at Letterkenny University Hospital has moved to reassure people that statistics published this week claiming half of urgent breast cancer referrals were not being seen was inaccurate. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, Mr Michael Sugri confirmed that the average wait time for a breast referral to the hospital is 13 days, and waiting lists have fallen substantially since a second surgeon joined the team. He says the story was a misinterpretation of waiting list data and moved to clarify details.
Every year we see about 2,500 patients in the breast clinic. This year it's going to be 3,300 if we extrapolate the figures. They consist of referrals from a GP that are triaged into urgent and routine on the basis of, it's not HICWA, it's the National Cancer Control Program. So just to clarify, HICWA are not involved in this process, it's the NCCP. Of those 3,000 referrals, approximately two-thirds are urgent referrals. Under guidelines, we like to see those within 2 weeks. We have striven to try and get resources. We're fortunate to have had Mr. Vargalis join us in the middle of last year. Up until that point, there is no doubt we hadn't got the resources to see all the patients, and that's a fact. That's undeniable. But that is a referral. It's not related to a breast cancer, because only 1 in 30 of the urgent referral patients have actually got a breast cancer. Currently, 97% of our urgent patients, and this is the statistics since Mr. Vargalis has arrived, have been seen within the NCCB criteria.
Which is 2 weeks.
Which is 2 weeks.
Okay.
There is still a significant workload. We've managed to get the waiting list down from over 600 patients to 220 patients as it stands at the moment. So we've all been working hard as a team to try and address the imbalance that existed in the region for many years.
The Northern Secretary has accused dissidents of pressuring children into taking part in violence on the streets of Derry. Karen Bradley has been addressing last week's attacks in the city. They included petrol bombs being thrown and a shooting attack against the PSNI. She says those behind the attacks have nothing constructive to offer.
In many cases, it would appear that young people are being exploited and goaded into criminal activity by adults who have nothing to offer their communities.
Meanwhile, detectives in Derry are working to establish a motive after a property in the Bond Drive area of the city was the subject of a pipe bomb attack. Police received a report of a loud bang outside the house at around 11:15 last night. A man and woman who were in the house at the time were not injured during the incident. The PSNI are appealing for anyone who was in the area of Bond Drive last night and who witnessed the incident or anyone who has any information that can assist with the investigation to come forward. The government is due to unveil contingency plans for Brexit today. Ministers held a special cabinet meeting in Derrynane House in County Kerry to discuss the UK's exit from the EU. A number of areas, including energy, trade and immigration, are being discussed. Taoiseach Simon Coveney says the government will work for the best deal possible for Ireland.
While we haven't been talking a lot about contingency planning to date, for good reason, actually, in the context of a negotiating strategy, there has been an enormous amount of work going on for the best part of the year now across multiple government departments and government agencies to make sure that we are prepared for whatever outcome emerges from Brexit.
€166,000 has been allocated by Transport Infrastructure Ireland for road improvement works to be carried out on the main Castlefin Road. It's hoped works will begin this coming autumn. Local councillor Gary Doherty has welcomed today's funding announcement and says it is something he has been campaigning for some time, given the poor state of the road. Councillor Doherty says it is a priority now to make sure works are coordinated and delays similar to that experienced in the Twin Towns of late can be avoided.
We received this very welcome news from the Donegal County Council at the Eastern Order MD meeting, which was held this morning. And it's very welcome news that €166,000 has been allocated to the National Primary Road running through Castlefin. And this is funding that I've been making representations to the TIIE for over the last number of years, because the National Primary Road has deteriorated somewhat through Castlefin. So it's very, very welcome news that we're receiving this injection of €166,000. It's very, very welcome funding for Castlefin.
And was there any indication given as to when the works would begin?
The indications are that hopefully this work will be beginning in quarter three of 2018, so we're hoping that we'll see the work starting in the autumn. But certainly, look, I've committed along with the other elected members in the Eastern Order MD to keep on top of this issue, and we'll certainly be keeping the TIIE to task on this and making sure that this work is carried out in an effective timescale. Because obviously there are a number of other significant roadworks happening at the moment in the Eastern Order MD, and we don't want to see any of those issues happening in Castlefin. So we want to see this work started and completed in a good timescale, and hopefully that work will begin shortly, and we see significant improvement in the conditioning of the road through Castlefin. So this is, again, very, very welcome news that we're receiving this injection of funding.
A West Tyrone MLA is to meet with the head of the Transport Strategy Directorate as a campaign calling for a rail link between Strabane and Derry to be established is launched. Tanya McCrossan believes investment is needed to develop infrastructure between Derry and Strabane, and a long-term plan set out to extend the rail link to Omagh and further afield. Plans are already in place to extend services to Dungannon, Castle Dawson, Maharafelt and Armagh. Mr McCrossan says the extent of the severe infrastructural deficit west of the Bann needs to be realised.
If the department can increase investment or invest generally in other areas such as Mid Ulster and Dungannon, then it's high time that those extensions came as far as Strabane and Omagh. And anyone that recalls this will remember the Strabane was a booming town that had great infrastructure and paid to rail, and people travelled from near and far on those trains. Those were taken away with the promise of new roads. The roads haven't come. But times have changed. The economy now has benefited hugely from investment in network rail services. I want to see that happen.
On the one hand, it's just 14 miles. On the other hand, it's potentially 14 miles of compulsory purchases and very expensive track laying. The argument from government is quite likely to be it would be very welcome, but it's just not cost effective and the cost is prohibitive. Do you buy that?
No, I don't. It's actually been proven now that investment in railway services is much cheaper than roads and maintaining roads in the long term. And also much more efficient, and also brings in more investments to the economy, and that has been proven time and time again. I don't buy excuses that it just isn't financially viable. That is an excuse to justify the neglect of the West that has happened for a long number of years. Now is the time for MLAs, for councillors and MPs to stand up and stand together and demand that we get what is rightfully and should be here in the West of the band. I want to see the return of rail here in Strabane and Oma, Fermanagh and further afield. And I think it is very doable. It would be a huge investment by the department, but something I think would bring huge economic returns.
Pilot representatives say there's a chance a next Tuesday strike could be avoided if enough progress is made in talks with Ryanair. The airlines cancelled 24 flights on Friday as pilots go on strike for a second day. Juliette Gash reports.
Pilots who are directly employed by Ryanair will go on strike for a second time on Friday as the row over base transfers, annual leave and seniority rumbles on. Ryanair has cancelled 24 flights on Friday between Ireland and the UK, with around 4,000 passengers being offered alternatives. Management and pilot representatives have been meeting at Dublin Airport this afternoon in a last-ditch effort to reach an agreement. Friday's strike seems inevitable, but can Tuesday's be avoided? Niall Shanahan from Trade Union Forces says they're in the business of trying to solve problems.
Getting around the table with management is a way of working toward that, which ultimately then will mean an end to the uncertainty. But as to how soon we can achieve that, I really don't know.
Meanwhile, 300 flights have been cancelled next week to and from Belgium, Spain and Portugal in a row with cabin crew. Juliette Gash, Dublin Airport.
Sport on Highland. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Now stocking a wide selection of Brooks running shoes.
It's now 14 minutes past five and time's latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer, and Alisson is set to be confirmed as a Liverpool player in the coming days. A world record fee of $75 million has been agreed between Liverpool and Roma for the Brazilian goalkeeper. Alisson is due to fly into the UK to put pen to paper on the deal, with personal terms already agreed. The fee will dwarf the €40 million paid by Manchester City to Benfica for Alisson's Brazilian squad mate Ederson just last summer. Celtic will look to complete their passage to the second qualifying round of the Champions League this evening. Brendan Rodgers' side take a 3-0 lead back to Parkhead for the second leg of their tie with Armenian champions Alish Kurt. Kickoff is at 7:45. Celtic captain Scott Brown knows it will be hard work, but the team only have one outcome in mind tonight.
We've got to get back into Champions League. We've done it the last two seasons, and this season's going to be that bit harder with the fourth game as well. But that's what we want to do, and we will take it one game at a time now, but that is our main aim.
On to cricket, and the three-day interprovincial is continuing in Bridie this afternoon with the North West Warriors up against the Northern Knights. Earlier today, the Knights resumed on 96 for two, returning to the 226 set in the first innings by the Warriors yesterday. At the end of their first innings, the Knights ended up with 188 runs on the board, giving the Warriors a 38-run lead. So the Warriors are now in their second innings at Bridie, and they sit on 192 for the loss of three. That was a short time ago, which means their lead is now out to 230, and William Porterfield has had a big day, 94 not out so far. In golf, Rory McIlroy says it will be difficult to stop the American stranglehold on golf at the Open. Six out of the last seven major winners have come from the USA. McIlroy gets his efforts to win the Claret Jug for a second time underway at Carnoustie tomorrow. He's wary of the American challenge and says there'll be formidable opponents when he plays for Europe in September's Ryder Cup.
It's going to be tough to beat them this week. It's going to be tough to beat them in France, and Europeans had their nice little run a few years ago, and just think these things work in cycles, and right now all these guys are playing really good golf, and you know they're some of the best players in the world, and deservedly so, and they're going to take some beating.
In rugby, two-time Lions captain Sam Warburton has been forced to retire at the age of just 29. The flanker didn't play at all last season after leading the Lions for their drawn series with the All Blacks last summer. Warburton underwent neck surgery in September of last year and followed that up with surgery on his knee. The Cardiff Blues man had entered pre-season training in recent weeks, but says his body will not withstand a return to the pitch. Warburton becomes the second member of last year's Lions squad to be forced to retire, following Jarrod Payne's decision to call time on his playing career. And finally, we're going to stay with rugby. The Ulster squad will visit Letterkenny Rugby Club next week for an open training session ahead of the new season. The session at Letterkenny on Thursday the 26th of July will be one of two community engagement strategy visits in the coming weeks. The other will be a Coleraine Rugby Club. The training session at Letterkenny for the full Ulster squad will be held at the Dave Gallagher Ground starting at 2 p.m. and then from 3:15 the players will sign autographs and pose for photographs. The trip to Letterkenny follows successful visits to Donegal Town, Strabane, City of Derry and Inishowen in recent years. That's it, Michaela. We'll have our GA programme with Tom Comack tonight. Usual throw-in time is at 8:30 and I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin. The PSNI have confirmed that the Buncrana Road has now reopened. The road was closed for a time this afternoon following a road traffic collision close to the border at Bridgend. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald says Micheál Martin's criticisms of her party's abstentionist policy at Westminster are a red herring. Sinn Féin don't take up their seats at the British Parliament, but the leader of Fianna Fáil criticised the party for not voting on crucial Brexit proposals yesterday. Their seven MPs would have been enough to pass an amendment that would have kept Britain in a customs union with the EU if there's a no deal on Brexit. Deputy MacDonald believes it's Fianna Fáil who are at fault.
The actual abstentionist is Fianna Fáil and others who don't even contest elections in the north, and that's a red herring on Micheál Martin's part and shows a complete lack of understanding as to what's happening. But I have to tell you, that's not for the first time.
It's claimed there's widespread opposition to plans to develop an animal incinerator in Tattyrae between Omagh and Fintana. Locals attended a public meeting this week where grave concerns over the environmental impact and opposition to the application for the incinerator were voiced. West Tyrone MP Orla Begley claims the plant would have a detrimental impact on the lives of the local community.
I attended a public meeting in Tattyrae Primary School, which was very well attended by local residents, and it's quite clear to see their opposition to this application. The proposed incinerator would bring undoubtedly detrimental impact to the lives of the local community and would not be in keeping with the rural character and nature situated in Tattyrae. And indeed, there were numerous concerns raised during the meeting in respect of this application, particularly regarding the plant environmental concerns, air pollution and safety concerns for the local residents. So at this stage, it was great to see cross-party support at the meeting, and Sinn Féin will continue to oppose the application for an incinerator in Tattyrae.
And going forward, what is the next step in this process?
It's currently at the consultation stage, so I would invite anybody in the local Tattyrae area and beyond to oppose their objections to the incinerator at this stage, at the consultation stage, and they can do that to the Fermanagh and Omagh District Council.
And if there was enough opposition, could it halt plans for the incinerator being developed there?
Well, I would hopeful that those oppositions and the objections to it would be taken into consideration. Indeed, some of them are very concerning, particularly regarding the air pollution and the environmental concerns and how this may impact on local residents living in the area. So I'd be hopeful that they would be taken into consideration and they would overturn the application for the incinerator.
The manager of Ballyliffin Golf Club says the economic impact and legacy of the Irish Open must now be built on as a matter of urgency. John Farron says there is now a momentum which must be seized upon by the people of the region, supported by government and agencies such as Tourism Ireland and Fáilte Ireland. He says there is an economic benefit available which Donegal richly deserves, and that must be recognised by government and other agencies. John Foran says Donegal has earned its seat at the table and must now command its fair share of government investment.
This is a moment that Donegal needs to seize upon and keep the momentum going. Less than 15% of the international visitors into the country are coming to Donegal or Sligo, which is absolutely disgraceful. We need to change that trend, and events such as this showcase what Donegal and the whole Northwest region has to offer. We must push that point with national government to develop the infrastructure to get people into this area so that access is no longer a problem.
A succession of councillors, other politicians, other community representatives have been making those exact points to every government agency and every minister since time immemorial. To what extent do you believe what's happened over the past 2 weeks gives them, as it were, a point of reference where they can say to the government, this is what we can do if you support us?
From the outset, it was a leap of faith and a testament to the confidence that the European Tour had in Donegal, in Ballyleffin, in bringing the event, a world-class event, to what would be commonly regarded, certainly in Dublin, as a remote region. The fact that this event ran so well and brought record numbers, 94,000 odd people, the event was an outstanding success for Ireland, let alone Donegal or Ballyleffin, I feel certainly that we are justifiably proud and entitled to seek our fair share of capital investment and certainly marketing investment to drive tourists to this part of the world. There's a lot done and a lot more to do, and we need to be cracking the whip as they've done elsewhere in the country for many, many years.
A man has been remanded on bail after being charged with the laundering of just over €1.1 million. The court heard he told Gardaí, "I don't know anything about it." Stephanie Grogan reports from the Dublin District Court.
These charges arise from an investigation into an alleged international invoice redirection fraud against a Danish company. Detective Garda Neva McCormack of the Garda National Economic Crime Bureau told the court the accused Hastrup Alawasian was arrested this morning and brought to Blanchardstown Garda Station, where he was charged with money laundering. He's accused of having just over €1.1 million and €14,000 in accounts in a Dublin bank on the 13th of May 2016. It's alleged this money was the proceeds of crime. The court heard the 33-year-old Nigerian national with an address at Wellview Park in Mulhudder, Dublin, replied after caution, "I don't know anything about it," and gave a similar reply to a second charge. The accused solicitor said her client had psychiatric problems. He's been remanded on bail and is due back in court in 3 months. Stephanie Grogan at the Dublin District Court.
For weather now, a good deal of cloud this evening, but some sunny spells also tonight. Will be dry and calm with clear spells at times in most places, with lowest temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, two separate investigations are underway into a double drowning off Malin Head. A 16-year-old boy and a man in his 60s died, while a man in his 40s survived. A consultant breast surgeon at Letterkenny University Hospital has moved to reassure people that statistics published this week claiming half of urgent breast cancer referrals were not being seen was inaccurate. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, Mr. Michael Sugri confirmed that the average wait time for a breast referral to the hospital is 13 days. The Northern Secretary has accused dissidents of pressuring children into taking part in violence on the streets of Derry. Karen Bradley has been addressing last week's attacks in the city. €166,000 has been allocated by Transport Infrastructure Ireland for road improvement works to be carried out on the main Castlefin Road. It's hoped works will commence this coming autumn. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The Irish notices for this Wednesday evening, the 18th of July. The tragic death has taken place of Gerry Doherty, Malin, formerly of Carndonagh. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, going to his late residence at Castle View, Castle Cooley, Burt, to repose overnight. Wake in the home for family only. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:30 to St Mary's Church, Lag Malin, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Hugh Gerard Duggan, Drumfin, Falkara. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Finian's Church, Falkara, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private pleas from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. with rosary nightly at 10 p.m. The death has occurred of Patrick O'Donnell, Ard Crone, Sheskinarone, Dunlow. His remains are reposing at Midland's funeral home with rosary at 9 o'clock tonight. Viewing again tomorrow evening from 5 o'clock with removal at 6:30 to St Columbus Church Acres for 7 o'clock, reposing overnight. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 11 with interment afterwards in Mahary Cemetery. The death has occurred of Chrissy James, 6 Ashling Close, Donegal Road, Ballybuffet, formerly of 3 Ashlone, Letterkenny. Her remains will repose at her late residence in Ballybuffet from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 11 in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in Newleck Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Con MacDade & Sons, funeral director. The death has occurred of Petey Joe McGrory, Old Golf Course Road, Donegal Town. His remains will repose at his late residence until 10 o'clock this evening and again from 12 noon until 10 o'clock tomorrow. His remains will leave his late residence at 10:30 on Friday morning to arrive at St Patrick's Church, Donegal Town, for 11 o'clock funeral mass with burial afterwards in Killymard Cemetery. House private, please, on Friday morning. The death has occurred of Marion McKean, Mean Derry, Falkara. Her remains are reposing at her home in Mean Derry with rosary at 9 p.m. both nights, house private, please, after the rosary until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass on Friday at 12 noon with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or McLaverty Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Teresa McMullen, 62, Ard Connell, Glenties, latterly in the care of Mrs. Jackie Deary, Glencoe, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at Shovlin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, Ardra, with removal at 6:30 this evening to St. Connell's Church, Glenties, reposing overnight. Funeral at 11 o'clock tomorrow, followed by burial in the local cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Medical 4, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of James McGuinness and Sons, funeral directors.